Hi, I'm Mike Sainsbury, and in this ASI cast, our research director Richard Marks discusses with Guy Bisson, research director at Ampere Analysis, some of the fundamental shifts taking place in the way people are engaging with television. As the industry dynamic changes, the discussion considers how traditional players need to evolve.
Hi, well, I'm here with Guy, not over Skype for once, but actually face to face. If you're interested in the acoustics, we're in the courtyard outside the Royal Academy in London. So, first question for Guy. This is your first ASI conference that you'll be speaking at in Budapest. So, can you give us a bit of background on Ampere, where you've come from, and what you actually set out to do in the world of media?
Absolutely. So, Ampere is a relatively new company. We're not yet 2 years old, but it's run by very experienced team of industry analysts, and we really set out with a vision to take media research and industry research to the next step. We saw a future where one could employ multiple research methodologies to get a really colourful picture of the direction that the television industry in particular is heading in. So while we employ traditional analyst research and we do traditional analyst forecasts, we also fold into that extensive international global consumer research and also adopt big data techniques and use algorithms to look at the content industry and strategies around content internationally as well. And really the three methodologies give us a very, very clear picture of where the consumer is heading, where the content industry is heading, and where the TV industry needs to be looking next.
So who are your main clients, not by name, but what sectors do your main clients tend to be in?
So we work across a number of sectors. The commonality is they're all focused in some way on the television industry. We work with the Hollywood major studios, we work with the big international broadcast groups, we work with regulators, and we work with the investment banks. And of course, technology companies and mobile companies and telcos are increasingly interested in what's happening in the TV space.
When you're working across all those companies, do you find that they have a common definition of what television actually is as opposed to video, or does that tend to vary depending on who you're speaking to? Is there any agreement around what it is that television actually constitutes in 2016, or is it pretty much up to the individual company?
I think it's a very interesting question. I think the concept of television, if you asked your average consumer or even your average business executive, they would have an idea in their mind of what constituted television. It may well differ from the next person. I think video and television are becoming shades of grey. YouTube is becoming more TV-like, and many traditional television producers and channels are increasingly looking at short-form content, which traditionally we would have probably called video. So there is a blurring of the lines, but I think it's quite clear in most people's minds that television is of a certain duration, of a certain quality, and probably not user-generated, whereas video would encompass all those other forms. But as we see more platforms coming online, like Snapchat and Instagram and Facebook, increasingly getting into commissions and original productions, those lines will blur even more.
So do you think that there's also a clear definition in people's mind between digital and television? Because what can often frustrate us in the measurement industry is that we see television as primarily now a digital medium, and yet you'll read headlines saying, you know, digital spend to overtake television by year X, and we're sat there thinking, but television is digital. Is there that differentiation as well, or do you think?
I don't think the consumer makes a distinction between the source of their content. I don't think they even make a distinction between the television set and another device with a screen anymore. I think it's all television to them. It's all the nature of the entertainment is the same, and then they're really not making that distinction at all.
So it's more us in the industry wanting to put things into buckets so we can define, measure and declare winners and losers?
Absolutely. I think obviously it makes things easier to measure when you do put them into buckets. There's also a legacy view around what is and isn't television. And of course, the industry is in some ways still divided slightly by the legacy of the past. But again, as with video versus television, I think that the lines are blurring. It's all about shades of grey now, and that will increasingly become irrelevant.
So you're advising investment banks and media companies about their strategies. What would you say is the single biggest hot topic that people come to you when you go in to see a new potential new client? What's the one big question they're asking about at the moment?
Well, I guess Netflix is always at the fore, but I think that's simplifying it too much. It's really about what's going to happen to their business as the market increasingly migrates to an over-the-top delivery to any screen, and SVOD services ascend in importance against the traditional players. No one is saying that linear TV is dead. No one is saying that traditional platforms like Sky or Virgin are dead. Indeed, they still account for the vast majority of the revenue and the viewing. But the point is, I think there's a strong realization now that we're not just talking about a bit of noise in the industry. We're talking about a fundamental shift in the way viewers are engaging with television and the preferences they have around content. And most of the big industry players are really wrestling with what that means for them. Where do they put their production investment? Who do they sell their content to? Do they need to be looking at short form? How are their viewers engaging with content, and what devices are they watching on? It's all about behavioural changes that I think really now have come to the fore, and what that will mean for the traditional business.
I think in recent months you've observed some interesting trends in terms of how Netflix position specifically are choosing and prioritising their content. Are you able to expand a bit more on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Netflix, when it launched, like any channel business, was reliant on acquiring content. As they expanded globally, of course, those negotiations become more difficult. They can't buy global rights to everything, and they moved increasingly into original production. What we've seen in the last year, however, is not just that original production has ramped up significantly, but that there's been a general clean out in the library, particularly getting rid of a lot of the older content. So we see that now that Netflix has become a global player and the road has run out in terms of new country launches, they're actually refining their strategy around content, and we would argue becoming more of a premium play, much like HBO did as it evolved over its 20-year period. And that means getting rid of old content, and it means increasing original, high-quality drama.
Is some of that sort of pushing out of old content not necessarily their choice, given that some of the major broadcasters and content providers are thinking, I want to launch my own OTT service and drag that content back? I'm aware Doctor Who, for example, in the States was pulled from Netflix recently, and we've had things like the launch of the BBC Store in the UK. So is there an element of, obviously, that being Netflix strategy, but also to a certain extent it's inevitable there was that sweet period when people would give them content, but now people are more aware of the value of that content themselves?
I think that's probably part of it, but I don't think the older content is particularly important in that respect. I don't think anyone should be thinking about launching an OTT or SVOD service that is heavily focused on long tail. Yeah. Netflix has driven the market to an expectation of high quality cinematic original drama, and I think that's where the activity needs to be focused. Sure, people are pulling back some of their big brand long tail older content, but they need to be looking at original production now.
You're not going to build a whole VOD service around repeats of Robin's Nest or Kojak, I guess.
You're not. And the exception would be extremely niche content that has a very defined specialist audience, where, of course, you can be a bit more inventive with what you do. But otherwise, the market is looking for high-quality reality, comedy and drama.
Now, I'm conscious we're sheltering from the rain on a not particularly warm September day. So I've just got one final question, which is you'll be speaking in the technology and content session at the ASA conference in Budapest. Can you give us a sneak preview of what you'll be talking about without too many spoilers, as they say in the TV industry?
Absolutely. So I think we'll be looking at the way that the consumer is evolving and their relationship with television and devices is changing. We're picking up a very significant change, particularly among the customers who have chosen to take SVOD services, in the way that they engage with linear television and non-linear options as well. We call them the content connoisseurs. These are the premium Netflix customers who are really watching TV in a new way. It's not just about watching non-linear. It's about the devices that they use and the way that they engage with content. Interestingly, if we go back just 10 years, the premium TV market was heavily driven by two types of content, and that was top-flight sport and the latest blockbuster movies. What we can see among the behaviour of your typical SVOD customer is that they really love other types of content. So we've already talked about drama, but they love reality, they love Indian art house, they love sci-fi, and they love comedy. So the whole dynamics of the industry around the content mix are changing in parallel with the viewing mix and the device mix. And we're going to take a look at that and try and say, what does that mean for the wider industry? And what do traditional players need to be looking at and need to be doing to remain competitive and maintain that viewer base as the TV industry evolves?
That's great. I'm looking forward to that. And thanks for your time. Hope you didn't get too wet. And I'll hand back to Mike in the studio.
Thanks very much.